Well, it should go without saying, but I want to say it anyway, how honored I am. And I know it's a great responsibility to preach the gospel anywhere, anytime, but I feel that responsibility, and I'm thankful for the privilege. Appreciate Donnie inviting me. Actually, he did invite me in Louisiana in March, and I hadn't heard from him since, so I couldn't back out unless I called him and told him, and I was afraid to do that. I thought that would be presumption on my part. Maybe he didn't mean it anyway. It's good to be here. If you will, open your Bibles today to Revelation chapter 5. So good to see many of you that we've known for many years. My wife said last night, it's so encouraging to see people that have been faithful over the years. They're still going on with the Lord, and new people also. Now, the theme of this chapter is the theme of the Bible, and you will find it in verse number 12, worthy is the Lamb. The theme of the Bible, from Abel's lamb in the first few chapters of Genesis to the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12, until the lamb that was led as a, or as the one who was led as a lamb to the slaughter in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 53. The theme of the scripture, worthy is the Lamb. What I'd like for us to do today, I'd like to point out four things in this chapter that the Lamb is worthy to do. Four truths. First of all, the Lamb is worthy to reveal God. If you notice that in verse 1, it begins, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne." Now, who is this who sits upon the throne? It is God. It is God the Father, especially, but it is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's the one who sits upon the throne of everything, of all creation. He sits upon the throne. In chapter 4 of Revelation, in verse 3, he that is seated upon the throne is described as a jasper and a sardine stone. But what does that tell us about God? What does that reveal to us about God? God described like a stone. You know, people sometimes say, well, I can see God in creation. Well, you may see the handiwork of God in creation. You may see the power of God in creation, the wisdom of God in creation, but God is much more than all power and all wise. The Lamb, he is the one who is worthy to reveal God. The only one. You know, in John, in 1 John, the scripture says God is light. Think about this. God is light. Light that no man may approach unto. And then the psalmist tells us that he covers himself in light. How may we know God? There's only one way that anyone may know God, and that is through the Lamb of God. He's the only one worthy to reveal God. And if God ever reveals himself to you, it will be in the Lamb, through the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to reveal God. The hymn writer said it like this, "Immortal, invisible God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. In the first chapter of John, the scripture says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared or revealed him. The Lamb is worthy to reveal God because he is the only begotten Son of God, one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit, who was made flesh, who became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The scripture says, in the fullness of the time, or when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Now surely this is a great mystery, as the Apostle Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That in that moment of a preparation, when the Holy Spirit prepared the body from the Virgin Mary, he joined himself, the eternal Son of God, united himself to that body that was prepared him as the one and only one in which we may see God and know God. Remember, he said, this is life eternal, that you might know the true God and his Son whom he has sent. There is no knowing God. Men talk about a God and talk about a great power and a supreme being and all of those names that we hear, but only the Lamb is worthy to reveal God. If you would know God, if you want to know what God is like, look at the Lamb. See the glory of God in the face, in the person of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews tells us that he is the brightness of his glory. That is, the Lamb is the brightness of God's glory. The express image of his person. I read years ago that word is like the king used to take his ring, and in wax he would put his ring, and it was an exact replica of the king's ring to make something, put something in authority. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. Paul wrote that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And so I ask all of us here this morning, if we would know God, not just know about God, not just know that there is a God. All men know that. The devils believe that and tremble. But if we would know God, and this is life eternal, to know him and his Son whom he has sent. If we would know God, we must recognize that he is revealed unto us in the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to reveal God. You know, just before he went to the cross, one of his disciples said unto him, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Philip, he that has seen me has seen God, has seen the Father. Have I been so long time with you? He that has seen me. You know, the disciples were slow learners. I think that's pretty typical of God's sheep, don't you? All of us were slow learners. But thank God he doesn't stop teaching us. He continues with us. Would you know God? That will only be true through the Lamb, for he is the one and only mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He said this, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." So first of all, worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy to reveal God. Now the second thing I would point out to us from this chapter, the Lamb is worthy to reign over all. Beginning with verse 2, John said, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book?'" Now the book was in the hand of him, that is God, who sat upon the throne, and it was written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who is worthy? In other words, who is worthy to take the reins of government and rule over all of God's creation? Who is worthy? And you notice this book, a scroll, is pictured as being written within and without, and then set a seal with seven seals. And I believe the reason we read it's written within and without is because it speaks to us of everything that God has purposed in eternity is written in the book. Everything. There's not the slightest thing, not the smallest thing that takes place in this world that God did not purpose from all eternity. Who is worthy to take the book and to reign, to rule over all God's creation? Well, John, the scripture says, began to weep in verse 4. "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look." Think about that. There was no man who was even worthy to look upon this book, much less to open it and execute God's purpose. No man. And then one of the elders tells John not to weep. Weep not. Verse 5, "And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath revealed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" As I prepared this message, I looked at that word prevailed. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." And I found out that this word, this same word, which is translated here, prevailed, is translated conquer and conquering in chapter 6 and verse 2, conquering and conquer. And in each of the seven letters which were written to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3, remember they all end the same way, "He that overcometh," the same word. And so this could be translated that he hath prevailed, he hath conquered, he hath overcome, and is worthy to open the book and to unloose the seals. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. What has he prevailed over? He prevailed over sin, first of all. He prevailed over sin. He prevailed over Satan. That first hint or promise of the gospel in the book of Genesis was that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And it was at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that he dealt Satan that death blow. He prevailed. He prevailed. He conquered. He's prevailed over sin, over Satan, and over death. Think about the thousands of millions of people who had lived before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and since he was in this world in the flesh, how many have died? How many graves there must be in the earth? Not one person has ever walked out of that grave except the Lamb. The Lamb of God. He hath prevailed, and even death with all of its power could not hold him. He hath prevailed. He hath obtained the right to execute the purpose of God in providence. You know, we talk about providence, we hear about providence, but providence is just the execution of God's purpose. The execution of his purpose, which was made in eternity, the execution of his purpose in time. And it's interesting that sometimes politicians, they will talk about a providence, but they don't say God's providence, a providence. No, the Lamb, he's worthy to reign, to rule over all things. In fact, in the letter of Hebrews, we read, he was made a little lower than the angels. Angels are higher order of creation than man, but he was made a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Put all things in subjection under his feet. Remember, he said to his disciples, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And in Ephesians, let me turn to this verse, Ephesians 1, because we understand that this power, this reigning of the Lord, the purpose is for the church, for calling out his people, building this spiritual temple. In Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 20, speaking of the power of God, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Does this sound like the little Jesus that is preached so much? Won't you let Jesus come into your heart? Won't you have pity on Jesus? Do something for him. Tell you, I learned a long time ago by the grace of God. God didn't need me, but I sure need him. And that's true of all of us here today, whether you've learned it or not. This Lamb, the Lamb of God, he reigns over all. All things are under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed, Paul said he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And he's dealt the death blow to the last enemy. But one day, death shall be no more. Not for his people. The Lamb is worthy to reign over all. All things are put in subjection to him. Here's the third thing. The Lamb is worthy to redeem God's elect. In the middle of verse 9 and verse 10, we read, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. God has an elect people in this world, and his people are scattered, as this text tells us, among every kindred, every language or tongue, every people, and every nation. They were all sold into the market of sin by our federal head, our representative Adam. But he has redeemed us under our God. The word here translated redeemed literally means to go into the market and to purchase. To go into the market and purchase. But I like the word redeemed. He bought his people. The scripture tells us that. We're bought with a price. I understand that. But I really like the word redeemed because today this word is generally used when someone redeems something that was really theirs. Originally, it was theirs. For instance, if you have something, you go to the pawn shop. You need to pawn something, and they give you so much money for whatever it is, and they give you a ticket. It's a redemption ticket. Now, it's yours, but it's in possession of someone else. Now, his sheep, his elect, were his from before the foundation of the world. But we had been sold into the market of sin. And he came into this world, into the market, and redeemed us. And he redeemed us, the scripture says, with his blood. Thou hast redeemed us unto God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the apostle said, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain from the foundation of the world." As a lamb slain. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Redemption is usually from something to something. Let me say that again. Redemption is usually from something to something. And that's the case here. He's redeemed us from something to something. And that's given to us in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. All of the consequences of iniquity. Death. Eternal death. The power of sin. The guilt of sin. He hath redeemed us from all iniquity. And to something. To purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We sang that hymn last night. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. You remember the story Rolf Barner told years ago when he was a youngster, I believe he was with his parents, and they were going out west, and they went to Yellowstone National Park. And there was the Old Faithful, you know, that stream of water, hot water, I believe, that shoots out of the ground every so often. They had made their way up to the mountain and got their clothes dirty and greasy. Didn't have air conditioning back in those days. One of my grandchildren said, "Did you know that that car even has a crank on the window?" Yeah, I've heard of those things. But anyway, on the way up, they got there and with his dad, I think, and his family, and he asked someone if he could put his handkerchief down in that steaming water. And he put it, dropped it down in there, of course, pulled it up. I've never been there, so. But it came out white as snow. And someone there began singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all. He's redeemed us from all iniquity and purified us unto himself." A peculiar people. And what is peculiar about God's people is we enjoy being here today. We were singing those hymns a while ago, and they began playing, "I Need Thee Every Hour." That spoke to my heart. How great thou art. I couldn't think of a better way to spend a Saturday morning, or a Sunday, or a Monday, or a Tuesday. Peculiar, zealous of good works. Here's the last thing. The Lamb is worthy to receive all glory and honor. Beginning in our text with verse number 11. And here the angels join in. Even though they're not redeemed with the blood of the Lamb, they know Christ as their head, as their representative head. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" Worthy is the Lamb to reveal God, to reign over God's dominion, creation, to redeem God's elect, and worthy to receive all glory and honor. Now let me close with a fifth point here by saying to all of us here this morning, the Lamb is worthy of our trust. You may be here today and you may not enjoy being here. Maybe you're not sure if you enjoy being here. But I just want to leave us with this thought. He's worthy. He's worthy of every person in this building trusting. You know, the prophet Isaiah said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." That includes all of us here, doesn't it? All ye ends of the earth. "Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else." John the Baptist had the privilege of pointing him out one day, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away, beareth away the sin of the world." May God help all of us to look to him, to behold the Lamb of God. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you.